Okay, Ed Smith.
God bless you.
Bless you too.
I have a roadmap.
Where are you going?
Through the Bible. Handouts for everybody.
Little moss.
No, I actually managed to do this, believe it or not.
I thought it was in color.
All right, so I've had a really exciting, challenging couple of weeks, which I will explain a little bit about, which I got to experience this firsthand as far as just relying on God and remembering that He is faithful. So we will start in Deuteronomy, one of the first times that the word is used. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." So what's a generation? 20 years. 20,000 years.
I hope that's a figure of speech.
Yeah, not limited, right?
No.
Not limited to 20,000 years.
Yeah, it hasn't been 20,000 generations since this is done, which would mean that Christ won't come back for a long time.
Yeah. Well, he's faithful. God is faithful. So I got a couple definitions of the word faithful. It's a primitive root. This is comes from Strong's. Properly to build up or support. To foster as a parent or a nurse. You guys don't have this in your handout. This is added. Figuratively to render, to be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet. Morally, to be true or certain. To go to the right hand. Hence, assurance, believe, bring up, establish. To be faithful. I thought that was pretty helpful. So back on your handout, this is the working translation of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Henceforth, brothers, pray for us, so that the word of the Lord may run its course and be glorified, even as it also has with you, and so that we may be delivered from out of place and evil people. For the right way of believing, I love that definition, is not in everyone. However, the Lord is faithful, who will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. I thought that was a good definition of certain individuals and things happening today, that He will deliver us of out of place and evil people. One of the things that I'm experiencing right now is that, you know, my business has been, I've been working really, really hard on my website, and that's the primary advertising that I have. Well, somebody hacked my site. And it's been devastating. From they changed my phone number. Yeah. So my embossed phone number, when you come up, it was a different phone number. And my IT guy were going, "What's going on here?" And I go, "Adam, that's not my phone number." And he went, you know, he was just not happy. They changed all kinds of things. They changed my my hours of operation from 10 in the morning to 7 at night. I mean, they just went through and wreaked havoc on everything on my site. I can't imagine why. I've only had 3 calls in the last month.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. To go from 131 hits a week on my Google Maps. So if you Google me, I would get at least 130 a week, down to 5 in February. So I was like, what's going on? So we found that out. So I literally had to just grab my mind to trust in God being faithful, you know, because it was like, So that's a little bit of the challenge that I've had, just going to the Word, just pushing my mind. And we'll see this from a standpoint of David's heart and what he had to do in just remembering that God is faithful. So a definition from the Greek on faithfulness, back on the handout, is pistuos, which equals faithful, an adjective related to the noun pistis, which is believing in faith. We're familiar with that. The adjective is generally used in a passive sense to refer to someone who is faithful, trustworthy, or reliable. A person who is faithful to God is someone who believes God consistently and who is trustworthy. The adjective also occurs a few times as an active sense to refer to someone who is faithful, believing, trusting. That is someone who believes consistently, a believer. Imagine that. A believer. Okay. The meaning of the adjective are similar to the meanings of the active and passive part of simple forms of the verb pistuo, to believe. Here the Lord is spoken of as being faithful. It's nice to know that we have a faithful Lord and we can rely on Him. Let's go to Hebrews. Hey, it's right there. Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. You know, we have the promises, and what good are the promises if we don't, you know, actively put them to use, to hold on to them? I kind of equate it to, a lot of Christians will be standing with a shovel in their hand and praying for the hole to be dug. That is not what we're to be doing. It's active. It's active relying on God. All right, so I want to go to Psalms 34. And this is, we're going to get a little background of Psalms, but Psalms 34 is really what I've been focusing on the last couple weeks, because I can relate to David. Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. How many times? All times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. You know, that was David's heart. David's heart was just continually, not continuously, but continually. It was just an active, ongoing attitude that David had. So I wanted to get a little background of this incident when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. So we're going to go to Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. And David fled before Naoth in, David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life? So most of you, I'm sure, are familiar, but Jonathan was Saul's son, and David and Jonathan had a pact. They were tight. They were besties. Verse 2, and he said unto him, God forbid, this is Jonathan talking, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. I find it interesting that Jonathan really was either deceiving himself or just wasn't aware of what was going on. And David swore moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he said, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a, step between me and death. And I think I have hard times. I felt like I wanted to die when I was going through this with my website, because money wasn't coming in. Verse 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said to Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. So there was in that culture a time where when you were part of the king's group, you know, they got together once a month. So they got together and you know, they didn't have a watch or a calendar and everything, so they went by the new moon. So every new moon, you were expected to be at the king's table. So this is what they're talking about. Okay, where am I at? Verse 6. If thy father at all miss me, then say David, earnestly ask leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. So David and Jonathan are working out a deal so that David can find out and Jonathan can know. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon a seat, as at other times, even upon the seat by the wall. And Jonathan rose up, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something hath befallen him. He is not clean, surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore, he cometh not to the king's table. So here we go. Saul's going to tip his hand. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And there was a whole lot there, and we'll drop down to 31. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, there shall not be established thy kingdom. I don't think Saul was so concerned about Jonathan as he was about his own kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. The cat's out of the bag. Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him. And I thought I had problems with my dad. Wherefore Jonathan knew that it was determined that his father to slay David. And David arose up and fled that day for fear of Saul. So we jump to the next chapter. There was a whole bunch that went on there where Jonathan shot a couple arrows to let David know from the field and everything, as far as the fact that it was Saul's intent. And this is what David is going through when he writes the 34th Psalm. That's why I wanted to go through all this background, so you can just kind of get a heart of what David's going through. So 1 Samuel 21, verse 10. And David rose up and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, who was at Abimelech, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did not they sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his 1,000 and David his 10,000? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. and he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrubbed on the door of the gate and let the spittle fall down in his, upon his beard. So I can just see him just pretending that he's just out of his mind and he's just drooling. You can just see him. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman? That ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come unto my house? So now we go to, that's a little bit of background of what David was going through when he wrote this psalm. And it just, it's something that I can really relate to. Mm-hmm. So Psalm 34, verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from how many fears? All my fears. Oh, I can't tell you how tough it was for me this, even yesterday. Yesterday, I'm just, you know, I got my IT guy, and I just want to call him up and just wring his neck, like, Adam, what are you doing? And I was just walking with the Father, just trying to ask God what to do and what I need to do to just, you know, stop fearing, stop being afraid of my mind was just spinning, like, you know, I don't have any money coming in, God. What's going to happen? So I was just speaking in tongues all day yesterday, and I even took a nap. I felt like probably like Peter, where it was just so heavy that I just needed to sleep. I was speaking in tongues much. And about a half an hour after laying down, Adam called me. And so we really had a breakthrough. I mean, it was just like he called me. It was out of the blue, just an answer to prayer. And so we sat down, and we were on the phone for like 2 hours, going through all kinds of stuff with my site and trying to fix stuff and clean stuff up and everything. And we put a firewall on. And it was just, it almost brought tears to my eyes from a standpoint of just seeing the deliverance, right. You know, just seeing the deliverance, but just having my head into the fact that, you know, there's going to be fears. We're going to have challenges, but just to have the confidence that God can deliver us, you know, and it's the seeking of the Lord. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And you can see that from David's heart too, from a standpoint of what he must have had to do to grab his head, because he was fearing for his life. You know, I'm just talking about a website. But they're real. It's real stuff. It's just life. Verse 5. I gotta get a drink of water. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. See, when you look at him, instead of your problems, you know, life is a lot lighter. You know, if you look at the problems and you let the problems be big, you know, but they're minuscule compared to our God. And it's just a matter of reminding ourselves of that. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all. How many?
All.
Yeah. See, I was a poor man. That's what I felt like. I can relate to this. I'm the poor man. You know? But you just pour your heart out to God. You know, it's just a great... It's a great opportunity on a daily basis to just put it in practice. Go Going to God, just knowing, as it says right here, the Lord heareth him. The Lord heareth us and saved us out of all our troubles, his troubles. Now, we're going to have troubles. It's just going to happen. We got an enemy. But God delivers. The angel of the Lord, verse 7, encampeth round about them that respect him and delivereth them. We have a deliverer in Jesus Christ. We've been delivered. Verse 8. Love this verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That taste and see. You know, I have the joy and the privilege of having a really wonderful cook in the house on a regular basis. You know, and she's cooking up, she's making that wonderful cake last night, and I popped up and the bowl's right there. She just got done putting the cake in the pan. So what am I doing? I'm over there licking up the batter. It's action. It's, you know, taste and see that the Lord is good. Get involved. Taste and see. You know, it's not just sitting there idle. It's getting involved. Taste and see. You know, you can't taste if you don't get a fork and a knife and put it to the mouth. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So we're blessed. We are blessed. We can trust in him. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord. Respect the Lord, ye saints. For there is no want to them that respect him. What a promise. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, the young lions, you're talking about the biggest, the baddest in the kingdom of the jungle, and even the young lions, with all their abilities, they lack. They have times of hardships. They suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord, actively seeking the Lord, not just being passive, not just sitting by idle and praying and hoping it works, but getting active with the Father, shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. It's something that's earned. You know, if the fear of the Lord is going to be taught, it's something that we have to learn. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? So how do we have many days and we see good? Well, we'll keep reading. One of the ways is to keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. It's a simple way to do it, but sometimes, you know, gossip and everything else is so easy to get involved in, and that's why I've had to just stay away from Facebook. That's just too much. It just brings me down. Oh, gosh. All this stuff, all the news and all this stuff is just getting to be too much. So I have really stopped doing a lot of that. I don't need it anymore. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Right here, the word pursue is a primitive root to run after, usually with hostile intent. It's figurative of time gone by. It's basically got the emphasis of to hunt, to pursue. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Well, are we righteous? Yep. We are righteous. And his ears are open unto their cry. You know, just get real with the Father. That's what I so much enjoy about God's faithfulness, is I just enjoy the fact that you know, nobody can take away from me the understanding that I have as far as my relationship with God. When we get to know our Father, you know, nobody can take that away. You know, it doesn't matter what organizations do. It doesn't matter. You know, I have a personal relationship with my Father. We have a personal relationship with our Father. And our Father wants to spend time with us. He wants that time. So pour your heart out. He will hear your cries. The face of the Lord, verse 16, is against them that do evil. And that's a figure of speech right here that, you know, number one, does God have a face? No. So we were taught, you know, condescensio. It's a figure. And in this figure, it's anger. The anger of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth. It's really good to know. And delivereth them out of how many troubles? All our troubles. It doesn't mean we're not going to have troubles. But God is faithful to deliver. Verse 18, the Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite or crushed spirit. I'm sure David was pretty crushed when it came time to flee from Saul. But the Lord is near to them that are of broken heart. Many are the afflictions or adversity of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of all. Yes. Verse 20, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. Are we servants?
No, we're sons.
We can do more, much more as sons. Will God take care of us? He is faithful. None of them that trust in him shall be desolate. I enjoy the fact that you know, knowing that God is faithful, knowing that we can rely on God is just a real comfort, and that we can see it, but it just takes action. It takes action from a standpoint of in the mental right here to just do what we need to do to be with God and rely on God when the things come up. And as we continue to stay faithful in having our head in the Word, then when the trouble comes, we've got something to rely on. We've got something to go back to. So I just encourage you to continue to get to know your Heavenly Father and remember that He is faithful. God bless you. All right, thank you.